welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. We're so glad that you have joined us today. Whether you are watching us at home or on vacation, or perhaps even at work, from the comfort of your couch or your back porch, or sitting out on the sands of the beach, wherever and however you are joining us this day, be it early in the morning or late at night or somewhere in between, we're glad that you have joined us. All are welcome here. This morning we celebrate our 2020 graduates, those who are graduating from high school and college and grad school, celebrating their accomplishments and sending them off onto their next steps into our world that needs a glimmer of hope, and we know that they can be just that. Our scripture this morning finds us in the book of Matthew, the Great Commission, when Jesus told his disciples that it was their turn now, their turn to go and spread the good news among all the world, that it was their turn to show and to share God's love with everyone whom they came in contact and beyond. Our world needs to know that love. They need to know that grace and that understanding. Our world has given us much to think about over the last few months, from a global pandemic to all of the things that are happening here in America, to show us that love and grace are not as plentiful as we hope. If your heart is heavy like mine, if you want a place to talk, an ear to listen, to however it is affecting you, the ministers of Greystone are here. We'd love to listen to you, talk with you, hear you, pray with you. You can contact our church through our website, and they'll get you in touch with one of our ministers. Our porches are open, our driveways are open, our outdoor spaces on our church campus are open. We are more than willing and happy to talk with you. So let us go into this morning of worship, remembering that the story isn't over, but the story continues, and it is our job to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our world in every way that we can, in every way that we know how. Let us listen together. Let us worship together. Let us be changed, and let us change our world together.
Good morning, everybody. Today's scripture passage is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, and this passage is called the Great Commission. In this scripture passage, 11 of Jesus' disciples went to a mountain in the town of Galilee, and they saw Jesus there. When Jesus saw all of his disciples, they began to worship him, and Jesus told them to go out and be disciples to all nations and to show his love to all people. I think it's really neat that Jesus told us all to go out and be his disciples. It's our job to show his love to everyone, and we can do that in so many different ways. Through youth group at Greystone, I've had the opportunity to go on a mission trip and to repair homes that were damaged by a hurricane. But you don't have to travel far away to show God's love, because you can show that love to everybody right here in Raleigh. I really enjoy volunteering at a special restaurant in downtown called A Place at the Table. This restaurant is special because it allows people to pay what they can or even nothing at all, and they can still get a good meal. I like it because it ensures that nobody goes hungry in our city, but also the whole restaurant is run by different volunteers from all across Raleigh and allows me to meet different people and show God's love to them. This week, I encourage you to all think about ways you can show love to your family and friends. Maybe you could call a grandparent and check in on them, or find a way to do something nice for your parents. There are lots of ways for you all to be disciples of Jesus and to show his love for everyone.
Good morning, Greystone family. As we continue in worship this morning, I'd like to invite you to a few moments of silence, of contemplation, and prayer. As we open and prepare our hearts for the reading of the scripture lesson and for the word that God has for us today, would you please pray with me? Oh God, we gather as your spirit people this morning, asking that you would open our hearts, our ears, our minds, and our spirits to your word, to your workings in our lives and in the world. God, for many weeks now, we have celebrated and contemplated your resurrection hope. We have stood in awe at the descending and bestowing of your spirit upon us. And now we come to this week of action and of going out, this week of celebration of milestones and transitions, this week when going out into the world suddenly seems strange and new to us. For God, even as we hold to your resurrection hope, God, we acknowledge the pain and the suffering and the injustice of our world, especially now as our black and brown brothers and sisters face injustice, not only now, but for centuries. God, as riots take to the streets, God, as people are fighting for change, we confess that in the midst of all the change, all that is happening right now in our world, God, sometimes, like the disciples, we doubt. Sometimes we are uncertain how to move forward or what to do. And so, God, by your Spirit, I ask that you would challenge us, convict us, embolden us to be your people in the world. God, to go to the places where there is suffering. God, places where there is injustice and pain. God, may we bring your hope and your peace. God, may we bring your spirit of action and truth and love to those who need it most. God, this morning, in light of all that is happening in our world, illness and injustice that is spreading among us and within us, God, we acknowledge the tension that we hold, tension between the need to be silent and the need to act. The tension between being your spirit people and being called out into a world that seems scary and strange to us. Forgive us, O God, where we have been complacent and complicit in injustice. Forgive us where our privilege has blinded us to the needs of our brothers and sisters, the needs of this world. God, by your Spirit, would you guide us, keep us, embolden us, show us the work that needs to be done. Give us the tools, the skills, the knowledge, the conviction to do it. God, as you call us all out into the world, may we be your people. May we hold to your love and to your hope, to your peace, to your justice. Show us the way forward. Equip us, guide us, renew in us the power of your gospel, the hope that we have in you. May we be reminded that the pain and suffering, while it seems like it will never end, God, through you, we have the hope. God, that death and suffering does not have the final word. That by your love, by your spirit, by your resurrection power, God, you are making all things new. So be with us and guide us. Send us out this day. May the words we hear, the scripture, the songs, may they dwell within us. Give us the energy, give us the conviction, give us the power we need to make change in our world. Guide us, keep us, hold us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Hear this reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There comes a time in every little bird's life when they have to finally leave the nest. The timing may vary depending on the species of bird and careful negotiations between parent and child. Parents, you may imagine, often want the little birds to leave the nest as early as possible, whereas the children, the baby chicks, want to stay in the comfort of their first home as long as possible. Despite these domestic disputes, the nesting environments themselves often play a role in the timing of a young bird's departure. For some birds, like towhees and juncos, who build open cup nests on or near the ground, the risk of staying in the nest is huge. Predators often find the nest within days, if not hours, after the baby birds hatch. For others, like chickadees and bluebirds, whose nests tend to be more hidden, closed off, those chicks tend to remain in the nest longer, giving their wings and flying skills a little more time to develop before they're out in the wild on their own. No matter what, those first few moments outside the nest, they're wrought with fear and trepidation as baby birds summon the courage to step out on their own and perhaps to begin to fly. There's a reason this metaphor is used so often in times of major change. Leaving the nest is totally uncomfortable. It's lonely, and at times it can even be wrought with danger. There's another side of this equation called empty nesting. Some of you may have heard this before, and some of you may be about to experience this in just a few months. It happens when the kids are all grown up and they've left, they've moved out, they no longer need the daily, if not hourly, support that they once needed. In times of empty nesting, parents, human parents, feel like bird parents, no longer responsible for the unending work of going out into the world to catch worms to bring back home and to repeat over and over again, filling our days with the responsibilities of parenting. There's often fear about what one might do with all this newfound free time and perhaps empty square footage. When young people reach the point of high school graduation and prepare for the next steps, parents and graduates alike are ready to clear out the nest. Ready as we think we are, though, stepping out and sometimes nudging our children out can be scary for everyone involved. This morning, we're engaging in an annual tradition, a day in which we celebrate and recognize our graduates, young people, many of whom we have watched grow up in our church. They're graduating from high school or from college or graduate programs and stepping out into the great big world of uncertainty. They're leaving the nest, so to speak. Now, under normal circumstances, we might guide them toward all of the conventional next steps. Complete your education, find a field that you really enjoy, get a good internship, and that'll set you up for a life-giving career. After all the pieces will fall into place if you just follow those steps. They did for many of us, and we assume that they might for you too. But now, this year, in this specific moment in time, these basic next steps, they seem to fall a little short. It seems that right now there are no guarantees. Life outside the nest seems more uncertain than ever before. And add to that, so many of the changes and the uncertainties that we now face, they were unimaginable. For just about the whole time you graduates were in school planning for this moment, everything has changed, and everything has changed very quickly. The scripture reading for today picks up at the very end of Matthew's gospel. In just one short chapter, right at the end, the two Marys discover the empty tomb, and then they go to tell the other disciples. Then they go on to Galilee, just as the resurrected Christ had instructed them to do. It is an action-packed chapter. This is senior year for the disciples. They'd been following Jesus throughout Galilee for the better part of 3 years, listening to parables describing the coming kingdom of God. They had been internalizing Jesus' ethical teachings as he pushed the boundaries of social and religious status quo, insisting on love and justice over purity and piety. They processed into Jerusalem with Jesus just a few days prior, anticipating a triumphant culmination of all that they'd been working for, and then everything changed. Jesus was killed, not crowned. And it seemed like all was lost. Nothing would ever be the same again. Nobody could have planned for this. This isn't exactly the commencement address the disciples had imagined when they set off to learn the ways of Jesus. The disciples thought that their spiritual education would come to an end in Jerusalem, the heart of their faith where the temple was located. And perhaps they had imagined that they might come back to that place, you know, one day in the future, to remember the triumph of Jesus that was supposed to happen there, but it didn't exactly unfold the way that they had expected it to. Rather than directing them toward Jerusalem, the resurrected Christ sends the disciples away from the holy city, away from the temple, and out toward Galilee. Galilee was the location where Jesus' ministry had taken shape before. It was the home of the Sermon on the Mount. It was the very place where Jesus fed the masses, where he healed the sick. It was the training ground for the disciples. I wonder if they thought this was where they would regroup and plan their revised future together, you know, the disciples with Jesus. But that's not quite what happened either. The disciples, who now numbered 11, having lost Judas to Jerusalem, they gathered in Galilee, anxiously waiting for Jesus to tell them the plan. And then it comes. Go, therefore, Jesus says. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Like little baby birds with underdeveloped wings, the disciples, they are pushed out of the nest, forced to fly on their own. Go, Jesus says. But we're not ready. they must have been thinking. Our wings, they're not developed yet. We haven't been trained for this. Everything is different, and now it's scary out there. What if I fall? What if I get hurt? What if I mess up? This year, graduates and parents and churchgoers and people of faith, all of us totally understand this feeling of being shoved out of the nest. All of our nests, all of our comfortable spaces have now been transformed, first by COVID-19 and then by the outcries issued from people of color challenging us to listen to them, to bring an end to racism and to create a future where all people are treated equally, just as we are all created and beloved and seen equally in the eyes of God. No space feels like safe space anymore, and we long for the comfort of our nests. This year, the annual commissioning of graduates feels like more of a commissioning for all of us as we go out into the great unknown. We've said it before during these last few months, but now it rings truer than ever. We cannot go back to the way things were before. We cannot pick up life as usual. We cannot maintain the status quo. And like the disciples standing on that mountain in Galilee, we are hearing the call to go long before we feel ready. Where will we go? What will we do? And what will it really matter? But also, like the disciples, when we listen, we might hear the words of Jesus through the Gospel of Matthew reminding us that we do know what to do. We do know because Jesus has been teaching us all along. We are to go forth to make disciples, just as we have been made disciples, followers of Jesus, the one who taught us to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to liberate all who remain captive to systems and sources of oppression. We are called to go and make disciples. And we are also called to baptize with living water, offering new life that is rooted deep within the heart of Christ. And we're called to teach, not just some things, but everything. Everything that we have learned along the way about love and acceptance, about working together for shalom, for wholeness, and always choosing peace in the face of violence. Teach them everything, Jesus says. Teach them that bit about welcoming strangers and loving outcasts. Teach them about listening to the cries of the downtrodden and the brokenhearted, for there on the margins, crying out for justice, that is where you found me, Jesus reminds us. And that is where we will continue to find Jesus. So go, therefore, go and do everything I have taught you, Jesus says. The trouble is, it's never been done this way before, the disciples must have thought, and likewise, you and I must be thinking now. To our young people who are graduating from high school and looking ahead to start college and careers, we don't know what the next 6 months or 6 weeks or even 6 days are going to hold, because we've never been through anything like this before. But we do know, young people, students, graduates, we do know that you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Actually, you're going to be better than okay. You're going to go and make a difference in this world, changing it for the better in ways that our whole world is crying out for change. And we know this because you have made a difference here, in our little nest, in the short time that we have had you here with us. You're going to make the world better because you have drawn near to the heart of Christ these last years. You have learned the language of God's love. You have learned to see with God's eyes, and you have learned to hear the cries of the unheard, the cries which God's own ears hear. and though many of you will soon leave the gray stone nest to live your faith bravely and boldly in our world, we know, and hopefully you know too, that you do not go alone, but you carry each and every one of us with you every step of the way. And even better than that, just as the disciples were commissioned to go out into Galilee, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching others everything that they had learned, you also carry within yourselves, just as we carry within ourselves, each and every one of us, the promise that Christ is with us always. Even when we're shoved out of the nest a little too early, even when everything around us seems to be changing, every moment, every place, and every time, even until the end of the age. So go, therefore. The whole world is crying out for the good news.
See, the table is set, the food is prepared. We gather to share this holy meal. Do this and remember me. Come and eat this bread
and take the bread.
Then we'll fill you all with my memory. Do this and remember.
To all of our graduates, to parents, to any of us who are stepping outside of our nests for the first time, or maybe for the second time or the third time, but stepping out yet from a place of safety and security into a world that is changed and uncertain. This sanctuary can be a place of comfort. It has been a place of comfort. It has been a source of all of the traditional means of spiritual rhythm and ritual. We have gathered in this space, filled its pews. We have come to this very table to enjoy this holy and sacred meal. And even when we were able to come into this space, we would take the meal, receive it into our bodies, and leave and go out into the world to be Christ's hands and feet in the world. Well, here we are. This is an empty room, our familiar table, but no one in the pews right now. And you're probably at home, sitting on your sofa or gathered around a table with family, preparing to share this holy meal, this reminder that Christ is indeed with us always. You're already out in Galilee. You're already out in your mission field. You are already outside of the safety of the nest, living Christ's love in the world. And so, sisters and brothers, today as we come to the table, wherever the table may be, let us remember that we are not alone. For Christ is with us in the bread and in the drink. Christ is with us in this meal, in every meal that we share together, knowing that the love of Christ is ours to receive and ours to take out into the world. So as we go, we remember the words from Matthew's gospel. Go, therefore, and baptize, and bring good news, and disciple. Here, and in Galilee, and in Judea, and in all the ends of the world. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks on this day which is unlike any other we've ever experienced in our lives. God, this day we come with grateful hearts. Grateful for your extravagant love that you have shown to us in the life and the ministry of Jesus the Christ. We give you thanks for calling us out to Galilee, away from Jerusalem, away from our familiar temples, and out into the wilderness of the great unknown. And we give you thanks that you meet us there each and every time. We give you thanks for meeting us there and for reminding us that we are your beloved children, that you are with us always, and that you have given us all the tools that we need to go and to be your hands and feet. We give you thanks for the spirit in which you call us forward out of this sanctuary, out of our homes, into our neighborhoods and communities. We give you thanks for emboldening us with that spirit, which drives us out and sustains us everywhere we go. Most of all, in this moment, oh God, we give you thanks for the beautiful mystery of this table and for all of the grace that we encounter at it. As we prepare to receive this holy meal, remind us that the grace we find in communion is not limited to this place and time. Remind us that your gift is ours to share anywhere and everywhere and with all people. Call us to go about our lives from this moment on, radiating your love, seeking your peace, and bringing your breath of life to all of those who so desperately need it. In your name we pray. Amen.
On the night Jesus was arrested, at the table with his friends, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And likewise, he took the cup, poured it, saying, "This is the sign of the new covenant. Each time we come to this table of grace, we do so in remembrance of Christ." All who seek to know Christ more clearly, all who seek to embody and know God's love, all who seek to share that with their neighbors, are welcome to this table. Come with all of the grace that this table symbolizes. Come with all of the faith that you have. Come, eat, and drink. This morning we are reminded that this table is not just ours. This table is ours to share. If we were in our sanctuary, we would be passing the peace. I invite you to find ways to pass that peace from wherever you are. That might look like saying hello to a neighbor, taking them something to eat, taking them some flowers from your garden, or simply saying hello. Passing the peace might look like sending a message to a friend that you haven't spoken to in a while or who has been heavy on your heart this week. Passing the peace might be dropping a letter in the mail to say hi to a loved one or to one whom you haven't spoken to in years. However you find a way to pass the peace, I encourage you to do so. We have been reminded over and over in the last few weeks how much peace is needed in our world. And we have the joy, the privilege, and the command from Jesus to do so, to share that love with everyone. Go and pass the peace.
Thanks for joining us for worship this morning. We would love for you to take a moment and share a comment on our YouTube channel about what is meaningful from today's service to you. Also, feel free to like the service and to share it with your friends and followers on social media. And also to subscribe to the Greystone Baptist Church channel on YouTube so that you won't miss future updates. Today, Sunday, June 7th, from 4 to 5 p.m., we will have a drive-through parade in our Sawmill parking lot to celebrate our 2020 high school graduates. We will have baskets available where, if you wish, you can drop off notes and/or gifts to the graduates, and you will get a chance to say hello and to congratulate them from the safety of your own car. Graduates' names and future plans were listed in a recent church-wide email. We will also have a basket available for you to drop off notes for the 8 refugee graduates from the class of 2020 that you read about in that email. On June 1st, Greystone posted our plan for stage 1 of reopening our campus for outdoor, small group gatherings. After many hours of collaboration, the Leadership Council, the Diaconate, the COVID-19 think tank, and the staff are eager to share with you the first steps of our gradual reopening. A link to the full document was included in Thursday's announcement email, and it can be found online at www.greystonechurch.org. Please be sure to check it out and stay tuned for updates and opportunities to connect. Pastor Chrissy, in her update to the congregation this week, discussed the very difficult season of life that we are in as a community of faith, seeking to be the hands and feet of Christ in our world. As protesting and racial tensions have grown following the death of George Floyd, many are reaching a point of frustration and exhaustion. This is indeed a time when deep spiritual listening is required. To that end, Chrissy is offering porch time to anyone who wants to stop by and talk with her. You can make a plan to join Chrissy on the porch or in her driveway for an outdoor, socially distanced conversation by sending her an email at chrissy.williamson@graystonechurch.org. This summer, everyone is invited to read Trouble I've Seen by Reverend Dr. Drew Hunt, a book about racism in the church. As a first step towards listening and understanding the long-standing history that is leading to the current unrest, we will read and discuss the book together. Stay tuned for more information about virtual meetings and a podcast series. And finally, Graystone has the opportunity to join the Faithful Families Thriving Communities Walking Challenge. Participants are asked to keep track of their walking and see if with a little encouragement from the team and weekly tips, they can increase their step count. If you're interested in enjoying the first days of summer and a few strolls around the neighborhood and connecting with church friends, send Amanda Aiken an email today at faith.formation@graystonechurch.org. The challenge begins tomorrow, June 8th.
Before you go, hear this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence be alive within you. Give you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember the world is now too dangerous for anything but the truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your hands and heal them. May God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.